This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial, and you can send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. Later in the hour, we'll hear from Pastor Donnie Wilkinson of Broadmoor United Methodist on the schism in his church, but we start with Danny Heitman, frequent guest to this show through the years, and hopefully that will continue. 33 years at the Advocate for Danny Heitman, whose column appears each Sunday at random, and he is, of course, his work is featured in many other publications across this country. And good morning to you, Danny Heitman.
Good morning, Jim, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and this is a big week for Danny. In a few days, on Friday, he will have his last official day as a full-time employee at the newspaper where you've worked for 33 years.
33 years, Jim, and I've had many happy years at The Advocate. I consider The Advocate a second family for me, and I could not feel luckier to have been on the staff of a paper of such distinction, not only locally, but across the nation.
You must have given it a lot of thought about making this bold move at your age and your stage in your career.
I certainly did, but I was presented with the opportunity to edit Forum Magazine, which is published by Phi Kappa Phi, a national academic honors organization that just happens to have its headquarters here in Baton Rouge, about six blocks from my house. And it was a great opportunity to be on a magazine that explores the world of ideas, and I think it gives me an opportunity to extend the work that I've done at The Advocate on the editorial page, which is very much about discourse and ideas. So.
Well, you're within walking distance of a national publication, and 33 years is a long time, and Danny is part of the editorial team. He and Lanny Keller are the primary editorial writers for the newspaper of record in Louisiana. It certainly leaves a void at the newspaper. I'm sure that you thought about your place, and as far as real estate and journalism in Louisiana, you're holding some prime real estate.
I've considered it a great privilege to work in newspapering and to work at The Advocate, and but I'm also excited about the opportunity The Advocate has to bring new energy and new blood into the institution with whoever they choose to replace me. And it's an exciting time to be in journalism, and I think the best days of The Advocate are ahead of it.
Well, and the first question from Marcia at talk@talklouisiana.org is, who is going to replace you, do you know?
I don't know.
But or can you be replaced?
I have every confidence they'll find someone better than me to do the job. But I do not know who will replace me at The Advocate. But, you know, as I say, graveyards are filled with indispensable people. And I have every confidence that they will pick someone to edit the editorial page that will be a great contribution to Baton Rouge.
877-217-5757, your number, as Danny Heitman is with us. And, of course, we intend to talk with him in his new endeavor, and he will continue to write his column. So that is good news that Sundays will still feature Danny Heitman in The Advocate.
It's been so gratifying for me to be able to connect with the community through this column that I've written for more than a quarter of a century now. And it's something I was interested in continuing, and I'm so grateful that The Advocate was willing to allow me to continue that role as a columnist in our lifestyle section.
So obviously no hard feelings.
My editors at The Advocate could not have been more gracious and supportive as I make this transition, and I can't say enough good things about the staff there and the leadership.
You've seen the newspaper undergo ownership changes and just changes in every other way. You've moved. You certainly have been part of the wave of new journalism with the digital part now becoming so prominent. What's been the biggest change in your view over the last 33 years?
Well, the biggest change for the editorial page in the past several years, I'd say 6 to 7 years since John George has bought the paper, is we've actually dramatically bolstered the resources that are available to the editorial page. We've added columnists. We have Walt Handelsman as a two-time Pulitzer Prize-winning cartoonist that's been added to our page. We now reach across three major markets, Acadiana, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans. We've added the number of guest columns that we publish. Our volume of letters to the editor has increased significantly. We've expanded our editorial board, which now includes Ken Stickney and Stephanie Grace. So I'm gratified at a time when resources for many editorial pages across the country are dwindling that our reach has actually grown, and it's been exciting to be a part of that.
Yeah, you're reaching people now who have not been privileged to read your work, and in that way, I'm sure it's somewhat of a bittersweet move, because you'll, of course, be reaching a national audience, but in Louisiana, there is no journalistic entity quite like The Advocate.
There isn't, and I think that one of the nice things is I will continue to be an avid reader of The Advocate every day. I think it is one of the most important institutions in our community. And I just encourage people to appreciate what they have in The Advocate, because it gives very vigorous local reporting, city, state, government, and it's just an important institution for us.
And Danny writes many of the editorials that appear unsigned that are in The Advocate, and a few years ago on this program, I asked him his favorite columnist. You said David Brooks. Do you still hold to that?
I read David Brooks, every column he writes in the New York Times. One of the things I like about David is, I mean, first of all, he's not an ideologue. His tendencies are basically conservative, but he's not an ideologue. And also, he brings in perspectives from his wide reading in the humanities and social sciences. He uses that to inform his columns. So they're always surprising. E.B. White, one of my favorite writers, he said, you know, really the first imperative of a newspaper is to be surprising. And I like the fact that David Brooks' columns are so surprising.
Well, right now, as we know, there is a lot of friction between the White House and the media at large. And in 2019, it got even worse. And the President of the United States is often portrayed unfavorably in this regard in the New York Times. And he, of course, gives as much as he takes, calling the New York Times continuously the failing New York Times. But the irony, Danny, is that he has been good for business for the New York Times and many other media outlets. People can't get enough as far as reading and hearing and watching the President of the United States.
You know, I've been at The Advocate more than three decades. I've been in newspapering probably about four decades at this point. I have never met a public official who enjoys media scrutiny. There's just a natural tension there, but I think that it's an important role that newspapers and the media in general have in holding public officials accountable. And, the tension between the president and the media is going to continue in the foreseeable future, but I just think that's a natural part of our democracy.
And many of those who do enjoy it often pay a price. Roger Stone on this show many years ago said the only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about, and now, of course, he's headed for federal prison.
True.
877-217-5757 is your number. Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Patrick, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, I like The Advocate as well. And talking about openness and democracy, what about the commenting section, like on the website? Is there a way to make it, like the Times-Picayune, they used to have a real good way you could comment to articles, and it wasn't connected to Facebook, and, you know, anyone could comment. The comments were real clear at the bottom of the article. Now you got to click through a bunch of stuff to try to get to the comment section, and it's not real visible. It's almost like they hide the comments.
I mean, I can't speak to the technical issues that you're talking about. I do know that one of the things we've tried to do with the comment section is have some degree of accountability for the people who do comment, so that you're actually identified as who you are whenever you comment, because we think that it's fundamentally fair that if you're going to criticize someone, that people should know who's doing the criticizing.
Well, yeah, and this keyboard courage is not a nice thing. A lot of people say things anonymously, and they try to be provocative, and in many cases they are, and they do so with anonymity. And when you write a letter to the editor, you scrutinize where the letter comes from before it appears in the newspaper, don't you?
We do require that you sign your name to a letter and agree to be identified as the author of the letter, and that's an important thing.
877-217-5757 is your number. We'll go back to the phone lines with Danny Heitman in another segment. Jim in College Town is first up after this 90-second pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Alondra Villarreal. I'll get it right. Might have to practice a bit, but Villarreal. There we go. She is producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. And Danny Heitman is here for another segment, the editorial writer for The Advocate, who is leaving his full-time gig at the newspaper after 33 years come Friday the 10th. But he will continue in journalism. He will, the editor is the title, right, of
right.
Forum Magazine, which is Phi Kappa Phi's publication, and he will continue to be writing at random on Sundays for The Advocate. 877-217-5757, and let's go to Jim in College Town. Jim, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning, Danny. First of all, Danny, a big fan of your writing. I did not know until Jim just bumped into this segment that you were leaving The Advocate. That's sad for me. I've always enjoyed your columns. I have two questions for you, though. One, do you still have that scale that you wrote about this Sunday? Because I need a scale that shows me losing weight when I'm not losing weight. And two, you often or every once in a while have pieces show up in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times. How do those opportunities come about? Do you submit those, or do they ask you for pieces now and then? I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you for those comments. And the caller was referring to a column I wrote about a scale that my wife and I had, and we discovered recently that it was lowballing our weight, which is an enjoyable scale to have, but eventually you have to face reality. As far as the national work I do, the pieces I write for the New York Times and Wall Street Journal, those are just professional connections that I've made over the years with editors there. Just, you know, we show up at the same conferences and things of that sort. And through those connections, I was afforded an opportunity to essentially audition by sending pieces in. And then once I had those connections, I'm gratified that they've continued to accept the occasional piece from me. So.
And Louisiana's a fertile place to report on the news.
It certainly is. I mean, my wife and I consistently marvel at the fact that for a state this size, we just have this outsized footprint in the national media landscape. It is very unusual to turn on a national show and not have some mention of Louisiana, even though we're a relatively small state.
1.4% of the population.
And we generate a much greater percentage of
that
the news.
That is true. And unfortunately, we're not growing as much as other states, and we've lost two congressional seats over the last 40 years. We won't lose one this time, but it happens every in 20-year cycles. We could lose again in 2030, and it's amazing. I was looking, I think in 1960, Louisiana had the same number of electoral votes as Florida.
Wow.
And think about how the world has changed in 60 years. You're one of your colleagues through the years, a writer this is a gentleman writing that he mentions Carl Redman, who was a big champion of transparency and openness in government. And this writer says, did the Clater-Adley transparency bill in the legislature do anything for sunshine in the governor's office?
Well, I mean, that's a I think it probably has had some benefit at the margins, but transparency is just going to be a continuing challenge, I think, in state government, and I think it's up to citizens to just be consistently vigilant. I know the Advocate has tried very, very hard to be a champion for transparency, and I'm gratified that the caller mentioned Carl Redman. It was just a great privilege of my career to work under Carl's leadership, and the scrutiny that he brought to state government just benefited every citizen in the state.
And Carl is one of those people who went away, and he did not crave the spotlight. I don't even think he lives in Louisiana any longer, does he?
Carl and his wife moved to Atlanta to be near their children, and we still keep up through email and the occasional phone call and the occasional visit, but I do miss Carl.
Now, another listener notes that some of the top reporters for The Advocate through the years, people like Marcia Shuler and Michelle Milholland, they now work in government, and you're moving on. Is pay an issue as far as journalists seeking shelter elsewhere?
I've always considered like working in newspapering sort of like working as a school teacher. It is not something that you get into to become rich. It's something that you get into because you consider it a calling. So, I mean, of course, you know, pay is going to be an issue in newspaper and in journalism. But the miracle of it is that we continue to attract bright young people who consider this a passion. And I think that's to the benefit of everybody.
But there are fewer of them now. When I first started covering the Capitol in the early 80s, when Dave Treen was governor, there were 25 reporters around him when he would hold an impromptu press conference. Now, if a governor were to do that, as far as people who cover him on a regular basis, only a few. Mark Ballard would be there. Melinda DeLotte would be there. But of the others, you would probably have some representation, but not people who cover the governor on a regular basis. So that's unfortunate.
The fundamental laws of economics have not been revoked. There's nothing ultimately for free. And if people want a vigorous newspaper, they need to support it. They need to subscribe to it, and they need to, you know, advertise in it. And it's not rocket science. I mean, if you want it there for you, if you want it to be a guardian of your democratic ideals, and if you want it to hold government accountable, you have to support it.
What do you think of what the digital revolution has done to print media in general?
I think that it has brought enormous opportunities for us to connect with readers in new ways, and that's all to the good. I do think one of the challenges with digital culture is it's created an environment in which people think that information is inevitably for free. And if you want journalists that are informed and skilled, they have to be supported with a salary. And that means that somebody has to pay for that. So,
Shara asks about Twitter. Now, what has that done to journalism?
It's like any tool, I think. It can be used for good or for bad. I think that Twitter is a good way, or can be a good way, to start a conversation in which you can refer people to, you know, longer form pieces. I think in and of itself, you can't depend on Twitter to advance public discourse.
Another listener asks what kinds of pieces you'll be writing for Forum Magazine.
I have been writing a column for Forum Magazine for, I'd say, the past 3 or 4 years, each issue of Forum is devoted to a particular idea. They've had complete issues devoted to the power of storytelling. They've had issues devoted to, you know, lots of other mm-hmm. topics. And so basically each essay that I write is about that particular topic. But my primary duties will be to edit contributions from other writers.
Now, John on Highland asks about something I'd not heard. Is the red section going away, the Friday supplement to The Advocate?
It's my understanding that Red is going to be basically consolidated into the lifestyle section on that particular Friday.
So basically it's going away then, as we know it. And I remember when that started as the fun section when I was in college.
And I wrote for the fun section. I contributed to it as a movie reviewer way back when I had a full head of hair.
Yeah, it used to be much, much bigger, and I'll miss it if it's going away. John says that tomorrow's the last issue. I didn't know that.
Well, as I mentioned, I mean, a lot of the content is still going to be incorporated into the lifestyle section on Fridays.
Tomorrow will be Friday, the 10th. Your last day will be the last day for the red section. Right. Well, hold that thought. We'll be back to wrap it up with Danny Heitman, and then hear from Donnie Wilkinson, Danny and Donnie, on Talk Louisiana after this pause for the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. A few more minutes with Danny Heitman, then we'll switch to Donnie Wilkinson, who is pastor at Broadmoor First United and United Methodist, and of course there's a schism in the Methodist Church that we will be talking about. Your number 877-217-5757, Danny Heitman. Listener, this is Tom on Bluebonnet asking if you'll miss Lanny Keller, your colleague for many years. The two of you have been quite a force writing editorials, the Danny and Lanny team, so I suspect you will miss him.
We may not be colleagues every day. We will always be friends. I consider Lanny a dear friend, and it's been a great privilege and honor and joy to work with him.
Well, and it's been a privilege to read your work, and I thank John on Highland for calling in about the information regarding the red section, but I'm sorry that on Friday, a double whammy, Danny Heitman saying so long, and apparently the red section going away at The Advocate as well, but it will be consolidated into the living section. So,
well, we're still going to have lots of the elements of Red within the lifestyle section, and I know that we're beefing up our reporting on the local culinary scene because Louisiana is very food-centric, as you know, and so I'm actually looking forward to seeing some of that coverage.
But newspapers like The Advocate for many years it was common to have a full-time movie and concert reviewer, and now very few newspapers have somebody on staff like that. And I don't think there's anybody in Baton Rouge covering that scene. So that's one of the signs of cutbacks that are necessary because of the economics of journalism.
Again, if that's what you want, then you have to pay for it. In some way, and so I encourage people, if they want that kind of coverage, to support it.
Thank you, Danny Heitman, and good luck to you.
God bless you, Jim.
God bless you.